Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 25th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
House Democrats draft a new $2.4 trillion stimulus bill.
Details emerge about Joe Biden's top pick for the Treasury.
A record number of coronavirus cases hits Europe as global deaths approach 1 million.
And a key deadline nears for the future of TikTok.
Another night of protests over charges in the death of Breonna Taylor. I'm John Tucker. The story straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A familiar name may run the Mets again. They won in Washington. The Yankees lost to the Blue Jays.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are lower this morning as we head into the final trading day of the week. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 8 points this morning, Dow futures down 70, NASDAQ futures down 29. The DAX in Germany is down 1%, so is the CAC in Paris, and the FTSE 100 down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.65%, yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% or 5 cents at $40.36 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $8.20 at $18.68.70 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1645 against the dollar. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. We begin on Capitol Hill, where Democrats are working on a new pandemic relief plan that raises the price tag for a stimulus effort. Amy Morris has the very latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
This new proposal addresses demands from swing state lawmakers for passage of a plan before the House adjourns. It includes small business aid, a bailout for restaurants, and help for the airline industry to avoid massive job losses, which could start October 1st. The $2.4 trillion price tag is less than the original $3.4 trillion package passed in May, but the president has said he'd be willing to go only as high as $1.5 trillion. In Washington, Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. While lawmakers work on another stimulus package, Goldman Sachs is looking ahead to November. Economists at the firm say the markets are overestimating the risk that election results will be delayed. While a delayed outcome is a tail risk, the firm says a combination of early results, voter turnout, and other factors suggest there will be enough information on election night to determine the outcome.
In the meantime, we're learning more about whom Joe Biden may pick for his cabinet if he comes out on top in November. The former vice president's search for a Treasury secretary is widely seen as focusing on Lyle Brainard of the Federal Reserve. More on the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It's a choice that would keep both Wall Street and progressives in line, according to nine people familiar with the candidates and Biden's thinking. The more provocative choice of Senator Elizabeth Warren has not been ruled out, but is far less likely, and other possible names are being discussed for the top finance job if Biden wins November's election. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. We have several new developments on the coronavirus front as global deaths approach the 1 million mark. When it comes to a vaccine, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he does not trust the White House and that the state will review any shot authorized by the federal government.
I'm not going to trust the federal government's opinion. And I wouldn't recommend to New Yorkers based on the federal government's opinion.
Meanwhile, in Europe, the UK and France are reporting the highest number of cases since the start of the pandemic. We get the details from Bloomberg's Sandra Kilhoff in London.
The UK breaks a record set at the peak of the first wave with 6,634 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. That's according to Public Health England, which called the data a stark warning. Europe's biggest economies are experiencing a disquieting spike in infections too, as France hit a record of more than 16,000 cases. They're also responding with new coronavirus restrictions in Paris and towns across the country. Meanwhile, Germany recorded 2,321 new cases in the 24 hours through Friday morning, the most since late April. In London, Sandra Kilhoff, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sandra, thanks. Shares of Novavax are up more than 8% in early trading. The drug maker is kicking off a late-stage study of its coronavirus vaccine with a trial of 10,000 patients in the UK. The World Health Organization estimates there are roughly 38 shots being tested in humans around the world and more than 140 others in early stages of study.
Turning to corporate news now, we're approaching a key deadline for the future of TikTok in the U.S., and Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has the very latest.
A federal district judge has given the U.S. a deadline of 2:30 Wall Street time this afternoon. The Trump administration has to either agree to delay a U.S. ban on TikTok set for Sunday or file court papers opposing TikTok owner ByteDance's bid for the injunction. Without a delay of the ban, the judge would hold a hearing on the injunction request on Sunday morning. ByteDance is seeking a preliminary injunction on the ban, even as it continues to pursue approvals from the administration for a sale of the video sharing app's U.S. operations to Oracle and Walmart. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thanks. Another legal development to tell you about. President Trump pushing back against a judge's decision on WeChat. The judge had blocked a ban on the app. Now the president wants her to delay that move. He's saying the Chinese-owned app jeopardizes national security. The president's original order had called for WeChat to be removed from app stores this Sunday.
Meanwhile, stocks in Asia closed out the week with their first winning session. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the recap. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Australian and Indian shares outperformed while there were modest gains in Japan and South Korea. Markets in China and Hong Kong fell. Sentiment affected by the world's most indebted developer, China Evergrande, warning that it faces a potential default that could roil the nation's financial system if it doesn't get approval for a stock exchange listing. Evergrande bonds were halted from trade. Meanwhile, Chinese sovereign bonds won inclusion into the FTSE Russell Index as widely expected. That spurred an early rally in the offshore yuan that later faded. Over the course of the week, the MSCI Asia Pacific Index fell 3%, its worst weekly drop since April. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Juliet. Back here in the U.S., pandemic expenses are impacting Costco's bottom line. The wholesale retailer says it spent $281 million in the latest quarter to protect shoppers and workers and also boosted wages for employees. Shares of Costco fell more than 2% in late trading. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And for more on what's happening around the world at 6:07 on Wall Street, we check in with Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. Another tense night has passed in Louisville, Kentucky. Demonstrators again taking to the streets to protest news of no murder charges tied to the death of Breonna Taylor. A civil lawsuit against the police involved in the March 13th shooting is the next step taken by family members. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear says the state attorney general should now release details of the probe.
I believe that the attorney general can release the information from his criminal investigation without impacting the federal civil rights investigation. I believe that there are very different investigations that are that set out to determine very different things.
Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher says one of the police officers shot Wednesday has been released from the hospital. The other officer is in stable condition. Republican lawmakers are vowing that the presidential transition after November's election will occur without disruption. That story in this report from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
In a rebuke to President Donald Trump's refusal to commit to a peaceful transfer of power, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell tweeted, quote, "There will be an orderly transition just as there has been every 4 years since 1792, unquote. Adding to the pushback, the Senate agreed by unanimous consent to a resolution Thursday afternoon by Democrat Joe Manchin of West Virginia, reaffirming support for a peaceful, orderly transition of power. The resolution states there should be no disruptions by the president or anyone in power, quote, to overturn the will of the people. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Radio.
October 1st is a dreaded day for airline employees. That's when the CARES Act is expiring, and with it, the $25 billion payroll support program that gave airline workers paychecks and health care. Annette Halla worked her last flight as a flight attendant 1 week ago.
I have my dream job, and so I have been asking myself, like, what do you do when you lose your dream job? Where do you go from there? I don't have any answers right now.
In a few days, she and 13,000 other United Airlines employees will be furloughed, along with 17,000 American Airlines workers and 1,000 from Delta. The census is back on again. A national coalition of local governments filed suit to stop the Trump administration's move to cut the timeline for the census count from original October 31st deadline to September 20th. A federal judge is now extending the census back to its original end date. Global news 24 hours a day on air. And on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, John. It's almost 6:10 on Wall Street. John Stash Hour is here with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, not the way the Yankees want to be playing with the postseason about to start. Since the 10-game winning streak, they've lost 4-5. Their bats were quiet against Hyunjin Ryu. Toronto won 4-1. The Blue Jays clinched a playoff berth. Jordan Montgomery took the loss. The Yanks finished the regular season this weekend at home against Miami. The Mets won in Washington 3-2. They took the lead on a Robinson Chirinos two-run homer. Earlier in the day, the New York Post reported that incoming owner Steve Cohen, assuming the sale is approved, plans to bring Sandy Alderson back to run the baseball operations. Alderson is now 72. He ran the Mets from 2010 until a couple of years ago. NBA playoffs, Anthony Davis and LeBron James combined to score 60 points. The Lakers beat the Nuggets 114-108. So Denver trails 3-1 for the third straight series. They came back to win the last two. Week three of the NFL is underway. Miami beat Jacksonville 31-13. Both teams are 1-2. The Jets are 0-2. Two Jet players just said that their practices are often sluggish. Sam Darnold disagrees.
The last couple of days were good practices. Guys, I think are showing really good energy. We just got to keep it up and, you know, execute and play that way on Sunday.
They visit Indianapolis. The Jets come off a home loss to the 49ers, who are right back at MetLife Sunday to play the 0-2 Giants. The Niners, in between the games here, spent the week at the Greenbrier Hotel in West Virginia. The Pac-12 and Mountain West conferences, following the lead of the Big Ten, changed their mind about not playing football this fall. Both will begin shortened seasons in late October or early November. John Stash, now we're Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, and join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We hear from a man whose team is trying to stay alive in the NBA playoffs. Boston Celtics co-owner and Bain Capital co-chairman Steve Pagliuca joins Bloomberg Business of Sports tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio and on the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. This is Bloomberg. And it's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA. Developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are falling along with U.S. stock index futures as investors weigh the receding prospects of a new U.S. stimulus package against the global uptick in coronavirus cases. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 13 points this morning. Dow futures down 110. NASDAQ futures down 47. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.65%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.1%, down 3 cents at $40.28 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $9.30 at $18.67.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1644 against the dollar. British pound 1.2710. And the yen is at 105.46. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
All right, Karen, thank you. Police in Louisville, Kentucky say at least 24 people were arrested from a protest in the city Thursday night. Protests have broken out across the country following the announcement Wednesday that no officers were directly charged in the fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor. Republican lawmakers avowing the presidential transition after November's election will occur without disruption. It's a rebuke to President Trump's refusal to commit to a peaceful transfer of power. And skeptical of the Trump administration's oversight of the COVID-19 response, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state will review any vaccine authorized by the federal government. Sports, Lakers beat the Nuggets. And Thursday night football, the Dolphins beat the Jaguars 31-13. Baseball action, Mets beat the Nationals. The Yankees, the Red Sox, and Giants all lose. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As Karen mentioned, a surge in coronavirus cases around the world, particularly in Europe, is sending a shudder through markets, and it's putting the race for a vaccine into even sharper focus as the U.S. itself gets closer to 7 million cases during this pandemic. Let's get more now from Bloomberg Intelligence senior pharmaceutical analyst Sam Fazeli. And Sam, I should mention that a red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal a few moments ago. Spain is recommending to extend restrictions to all of Madrid as this surge in Europe continues. What do you see happening with this virus? I mean, it has just been relentless.
Yeah, hi, good morning. So, as some of you may know, I'm actually quarantining, not quite the right phrase here. I've been stuck in France for the past 6 months. And I can tell you that one of the things that I notice here is, for example, one of my daughters works in an office, and they've been told to continue to come to work, even if someone near them may have contracted the virus. Example being, one of the children in the household where she's living has been in contact with another child who has tested positive. She's going to find her result next week. And they're told, continue to come to the office, wear masks, et cetera, social distance, until you know that you have a meaningful risk of an infection. So when you think of it that way, you talk about these restrictions, or we talk about these restrictions, but at least in this particular case, which may be the office or the group that are doing this, you do have a risk of these people, eventually, the masks aren't 100% effective, right? They're 70%, 60% effective, or whatever the number is. You do have a risk of that transmission occurring. So I think there's some of that going on. Then you've got the inside the schools, et cetera, et cetera.
And it speaks to the sort of piecemeal approach that is happening not just in Europe, but in the United States. I mean, do you see any prospects that we could have some kind of coordination in how we handle this? I mean, that's something that a lot of people have been calling for since the beginning of this pandemic.
Oh, not really, to be honest with you. I mean, it's hard enough seeing any coordination between schools and universities and cities. There's different office groups, etc. You know, we've had this in the UK until recently, where or in the US, some companies are saying don't come to work until 2021. Others saying come to work now, please. So I don't think there's any hope of coordination for any of this, because we are not the only coordinated way would have been to go complete lockdown again. I don't think anybody is planning that one.
Well, of course, the race for a vaccine goes on here. We have several pharmaceutical companies now in late-stage trials. Where do you see that process right now?
Yeah, so I'm just actually reworking my numbers to do the undoable, basically, and look at which trial might report. And I still think that AstraZeneca in its UK trial and Pfizer in its U.S. trial do have a hope of passing that first or their interim analyses pretty soon in October. And I suspect even if they wanted to wait for what Johnson & Johnson has done, 2 months of safety data for half the participants in their trials, you would still get data from them before the end of the year. So that is still on the cards, assuming they work. Well, at least you'll get the data. Then we'll know if it worked.
In our last minute here, there have been a lot of concerns raised about whether the Food and Drug Administration approval process has become too politicized. Of course, we heard from the president in recent days saying that any changes to emergency use authorization rules would have to go through the White House first. Are you concerned about that?
Absolutely. Anybody who has any connection with this should be concerned. At the end of the day, the regulators should be left well alone to get on with their job. Companies should not be forced. Every company is incentivized to get this product to market. Everybody is incentivized to get a safe and effective vaccine to market. I don't think anyone needs a push. Politicians should stay out of it, and that's the bottom line.
And just quickly, are you hopeful that vaccine makers will be able to assure that their products are safe and effective without approvals, approvals?
Yeah, of course, without political pressure. I mean, as long as they're left alone to do their job, the data will.
Sounds as though we've lost Sam Fazeli. Sam Fazeli, again, thank you for being with us from France. Bloomberg Intelligence senior pharmaceutical analyst Sam Fazzelli. As again, Europe is facing a surge in coronavirus cases, and the U.S. is getting closer to 7 million cases after crossing the 200,000 death mark in recent days. Futures moving lower this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it is 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower as we close on a volatile trading week. On Capitol Hill, there are hopes for a new stimulus package. House Democrats are drafting a roughly $2.4 trillion proposal to take into possible negotiations with the White House and Senate Republicans. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is hopeful a deal can get done.
I believe a targeted package is still needed, and the administration is ready to reach a bipartisan agreement. I would also encourage the Senate to pass promptly the bipartisan continuing resolution that was passed in the House.
Mnuchin spoke during a Senate Banking Committee hearing. No word on when negotiations may resume.
While lawmakers work on another stimulus package, Goldman Sachs is looking ahead to November. Economists at the firm say the markets are overestimating the risk that election results will be delayed. Goldman says a combination of early results, voter turnout, and other factors suggest there will be enough information to determine an outcome on election night.
Meantime, we're learning more about who Joe Biden may pick for his cabinet if he comes out on top in November. Sources tell us the former vice president's search for a Treasury secretary is widely seen as focusing on Federal Reserve Governor Lyle Brainard.
On the corporate front, we have new developments involving TikTok, now just hours away from a key deadline. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel reports from Hong Kong.
The U.S. District Judge Carl Nichols has given the Trump administration until today, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to agree to the delay of the Sunday deadline. Or if you're not going to do that, you must file the necessary court papers stating the reasons why they oppose ByteDance's request for a preliminary injunction.
And without a delay of the ban, the judge would hold a hearing on the injunction request Sunday morning.
In another legal development, President Trump pushing back against a judge's decision on WeChat. The judge had blocked a ban on the app. Now the president wants her to delay that move. He's saying that Chinese-owned app jeopardizes national security.
Shares of Novavax are up more than 8% in early trading. The drug maker is kicking off a late-stage study of its coronavirus vaccine with a trial of 10,000 patients in the U.K.
Pandemic expenses are impacting the bottom line at Costco. The wholesale retailer said it spent $281 million in the latest quarter to protect shoppers and workers. It also boosted wages for employees. Shares of Costco fell more than 2% in late trading. S&P futures are down about 16 points. Dow futures are down 143. NASDAQ futures down 47. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 0.65%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's John Tucker.
And Nathan, good morning. Protests continue into last night in Louisville, Kentucky. At least 24 people arrested in Louisville. Protests have broken out across the country following the announcement Wednesday that no officers were directly charged in the fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor. Police pulled back from the Louisville protests last night after negotiating an ending with the demonstrators. Black voters are seeing about a 4% of their mail-in ballots initially rejected in a key swing state of North Carolina. That's twice the rate of white residents, and a troubling sign for Democrats, counting on one of the party's most loyal blocs. As one of the first states to begin processing mail-in ballots, North Carolina offers an early glimpse into some of the problems that may emerge. And the fundraising machine for the Biden-Harris campaign is in full gear, and Barack Obama is lending a hand. Bloomberg's Amy Morris reports from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom.
Sources tell Bloomberg the former president will join vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris at two events next Friday, one small donor event and an event for high-dollar donors. Both will be virtual. They are the first for President Obama since Harris was tapped as Joe Biden's running mate last month. More fundraisers are also scheduled for October with Senator Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton, and former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. The Biden campaign set a fundraising record in August, bringing in more than $364 million. In Washington, Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Russia is trying to determine what a possible Joe Biden presidency would mean for sensitive issues. Sources inside the Kremlin tell Bloomberg Russia is increasingly alarmed at the prospect of a White House without Donald Trump. There's a warning today that California Governor Gavin Newsom's plan to go all EV by 2035 could have some serious repercussions. More on that from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
California currently has trouble keeping its lights on at certain times of the year. The California Solar and Storage Association, which is a trade group, says that will drive up power demand by electric cars by 25%. And Governor Gavin Newsom seems to agree, saying that in the next 15 years, battery storage has to be ramped up big time. He says along with going EV, storage technology has to come online quickly. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Paper or plastic? Well, how about neither? The New Jersey legislature has voted to make the state the first in the country to ban single-use paper bags in supermarkets, along with all single-use plastic bags in stores and restaurants. The governor says he'll sign it. It goes into effect 18 months after the bill is signed. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, another Yankee loss in Buffalo. Toronto won 4-1. Hyunjin Ryu beat Jordan Montgomery, and the Blue Jays took 3-4 in the series. They've clinched their first playoff berth since 2016. The Yankees may not know until after Sunday's games who they will face in next week's wild card series. It'll be either the Twins, White Sox, or Indians. The Mets beat Washington 3-2. A couple of Met bright spots this season. Rookie David Peterson went to 6-2 on the year and three hits for Dominic Smith, who's batting .322. Looks like Brody Van Wagenen will be out as Mets general manager once the sale of the team to Steve Cohen is approved. And his successor will be his predecessor. Cohen reportedly plans to bring 72-year-old Sandy Alderson back as team president overseeing baseball operations. Looks like LeBron James might be facing his old team in the NBA Finals. LeBron and Anthony Davis combined for 60 points. Lakers beat the Nuggets 114-108 for a 3-1 lead in the West Finals. The Nuggets have come back from 3-1 down twice in these playoffs. Meanwhile, LeBron's old team, the Heat, lead the Celtics 3-1 in the East. They'll have Game 5 tonight. NFL, Miami beat Jacksonville 31-13. Ryan Fitzpatrick has now beaten the Jaguars with six different teams. That's a record. The 49ers, who beat the Jets at MetLife last Sunday, will play the Giants there on Sunday. The Niners suffered a ton of injuries, blamed the turf. The NFL investigated the MetLife turf, insisted it's good to go. Jets Sunday visit Indianapolis. The Jets are banged up. They will be without three wideouts and two offensive linemen, and their coach Adam Gase said they will play anyone who has a pulse. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's almost 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Trump's third Supreme Court nominee could have a large impact on economic and regulatory law. I'm Carl Smith, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Brett Kavanaugh, the presumptive new swing justice on the court, has shown a preference for slow incremental change. An exception to that rule is Kavanaugh's concern about federal overreach. Kavanaugh has signaled a willingness to overturn Chevron deference, a 1984 ruling that gives federal agencies wide latitude to determine and even change their interpretation of regulatory law. It seems likely that the Supreme Court candidates currently under consideration will agree with Kavanaugh. If so, the federal government could see its flexibility in regulating industry sharply curtailed. That may be good news for businesses concerned about regulatory uncertainty. I'm Carl Smith. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. One Federal Reserve official sees a big boost in growth coming this quarter. St. Louis President Jim Bullard says the U.S. economy may surge at a 35% annualized rate in the period. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It's the most upbeat comments by a central banker since the start of the COVID-19 outbreak, and Bullard says the nation may be close to a complete recovery by year-end. In a virtual presentation to the Global Interdependence Center, Bullard said rapid expansion in gross domestic product in the third quarter, quote, may put the U.S. economy within reach of a sort of full recovery by the end of 2020. Estimates on Bloomberg show the economy rebounding at an annualized 25% in the third quarter from the prior 3 months, when it recorded the sharpest plunge on record. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Later this morning, the government issues August data on factory orders for durable goods, and economists forecast the fourth straight monthly increase. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Durable goods orders have been on the mend in the advance since May in the aftermath of pandemic shutdowns. Bloomberg Economics says equipment spending has been a driver but could moderate. Lean inventories may prove a saving grace as businesses rebuild stockpiles. Regional factory data from the Federal Reserve have been encouraging. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And Bloomberg News has learned Sycamore Partners has made a preliminary bid to buy assets of bankrupt Ascena Retail Group. They include the Ann Taylor, Loft, and Lane Bryant labels. After a string of acquisitions starting in 2009, Mahwah, New Jersey-based Ascena was struggling with dated brands and declining revenue even before the coronavirus froze consumer spending. S&P futures are falling. They're down 16 points. Dow futures down 148. NASDAQ futures lower by 47 points. The 10-year is up 3/32 now, yield down to 0.65%. Yield on the 2-year still at 0.13%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street now. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And futures this morning are falling along with European shares. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, with S&P futures down about 21 points, Dow futures down 186, NASDAQ futures down 63. The DAX in Germany is down 1.9%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.65%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.5% or 18 cents at $40.14 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% or $13.40 at $18.63.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1648 against the dollar. British pound 1.2719 and the yen 105.46. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Hey, good morning, Karen. At least 24 people were arrested in Louisville last night. Protests have broken out across the country following the announcement Wednesday that no police officers were directly charged in the fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor. Sources inside the Kremlin tell Bloomberg Russia is increasingly alarmed at the prospect of a White House without President Donald Trump in power, and skeptical of the Trump administration's oversight of the COVID-19 response. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state would review any vaccine authorized by the federal government. As Senator Rick Scott wrote the playbook that Trump is using to discredit mail-in ballots, now he wants to make it part of the law. In 2018, the Florida senator was ahead on election night, but saw his lead diminish as mail-in ballots were counted. He charged that unethical liberals were trying to steal the election, and he sued to try to stop the count. And black voters are seeing about 4% of their mail-in ballots initially rejected in the key swing state of North Carolina. That's twice the rate of white residents. And also a troubling sign for Democrats counting on one of the party's most loyal blocs. As one of the first states to begin processing mail-in ballots, North Carolina offers an early glimpse into the problems that may emerge as pandemic-weary voters across the nation try voting for mail by the first time. And skeptical of the Trump administration's oversight of the COVID-19 response, New Jersey's legislature has approved a $32.7 billion budget that raises income tax on millionaires. The tax will rise to 10.75% for every dollar above a million that is earned. Sports, the Lakers beat the Nuggets, Thursday night football. Dolphins beat the Jaguars 31-13. Baseball action, the Mets beat the Nationals. The Yankees, Red Sox, and Giants all lose. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, John, thank you for that. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's just before 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in the nation's capital include Republicans pushing back at President Trump's threat not to abide by election results. The Kremlin getting alarmed at the prospect of Joe Biden winning the presidential election in November, and the president heading to Georgia today to court skeptical black voters with a small business plan. Also making news this morning, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi both sounding open to stimulus talks, though they do still remain far apart on an actual deal. Let's get the very latest on all these stories from Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Well, Kate, just when you thought stimulus negotiations were on the back burner completely, here we go again.
Yep, here we go again. I guess. I think that it's, you know, now that it seems like there's a deal in place to put forth some sort of a stopgap funding measure, so that looks like the government is not going to shut down next week. I think that in some ways it's not surprising that we're hearing some good rumblings from, you know, the Pelosi and Mnuchin camps about renewed hope for a stimulus. But I think the idea of something getting done before Election Day is still, to put it mildly, a really big long shot.
Yeah, I would think so, given the fact that we have a Supreme Court vacancy that still needs to be fought over, and the fact that Republicans and Democrats remain miles apart on a top line number for how big a stimulus package should be.
They do, and that's the thing. I mean, everybody can want a deal as much as, you know, they can want a deal a whole lot, but until they come to a middle ground on the top line number, which, as you point out, they're still very, very, you know, far apart on, billions of dollars apart on. I think that the idea that they could, you know, hammer out the nitty gritty details is pretty far fetched to think. And so I think that also it's important to keep in mind that there's a political aspect here. You know, the election is 39 days away now, and neither side wants to be seen as giving up on stimulus talks. And so there's a certain incentive for both sides to, you know, talk about the prospects for a deal, even if a deal is actually going to be very, very difficult to come to fruition.
It's going to be very interesting to watch whether this becomes more than just talk. But in the meantime, Republicans are finding themselves having to talk about whether the election result is going to be legitimate, given the fact that President Trump hasn't committed to allowing a peaceful transfer of power should he lose. I mean, this is probably not a position that Republican senators in particular want to be in right now, having to talk about this.
Definitely not. And, you know, while we're talking, of course, about the presidential election, there are a number of Republican senators who are in competitive races this year. Obviously, the Senate is increasingly looking like it's potentially up for grabs this year. And I think that this is a difficult question, particularly for those senators that are on the ballot, to have to answer when they talk with constituents. You know, if the president, who many of them, you know, almost all of them support, at least to some degree, is out there talking about, you know, not necessarily committing to a peaceful transition of power, then, you know, that becomes a question then for senators on the campaign trail who really are trying to localize rather than nationalize their races. They don't necessarily want to be talking about Trump. They want to be talking about what they're going to do, and this makes that more difficult.
And interestingly, just as the president has been raising all these questions about the legitimacy of mail-in ballots, we just had a story across the Bloomberg terminal moments ago that Senator Rick Scott, Republican from Florida, is proposing a bill that would drastically limit the amount of time that election officials would have to count mail-in ballots. What do we know about this proposal?
Well, the first thing to know about this proposal is it has zero chance of becoming law before the election. The second thing to know about it is that that it is significant, though, because it does show where Republicans are positioning themselves rhetorically. And Rick Scott is an interesting person because he basically wrote the playbook for challenging mail-in ballots in 2018 when during his Senate run. And so a lot of the same arguments that kind of went into his narrative back then, we're seeing him repeat in this legislation. And so I think it's very, very instructive to look at what he's proposing and, you know, think about how that might be translated into a election night messaging that we could hear out of the White House.
Also, very interestingly, we're hearing from figures inside the Kremlin who are apparently wargaming the prospect of a Joe Biden victory in November. What are they saying?
Well, you know, it sounds like there's increasing alarm in Moscow over the prospect of a Joe Biden presidency. Obviously, that harkens back to, you know, all of the allegations and the conclusions, really, that have been reached by U.S. intelligence services that the Kremlin, you know, worked hard to try to sway the election in the U.S. in favor of Trump 4 years ago. And there are a number of tangible things you can point to during the Trump years that have been beneficial for the Kremlin, you know. And so I think that what's happening now is that, as you know, there's the folks that are close to Putin are gaming out scenarios for, if it is a Biden win, what that's going to look like and how they can recalibrate their approach.
Bloomberg U.S. Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you, as always, for keeping us up to speed on all the developments happening in Washington. It just seems like there's so much news flow day in and day out in the nation's capital. And you can follow it all at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and listen to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2 Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Karen?
Yeah, so much news, Nathan. We are getting this headline crossing the Bloomberg. I just want to pass on the Stocks Europe 600 Banks Index hitting an all-time intraday low. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg. It is currently, as I said, 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT, more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Rapid evolution due to extreme climate events could lead to extinction for some animals. That's the finding from a study published in New Scientist magazine, which says mutations in species in responses to climate change could drive some small, vulnerable populations to extinction. NASA has narrowed down the source of a leak on the International Space Station. Business Insider said the agency has zeroed in on two Russian modules as the likely source of the leak. That includes one module that's responsible for life support on that station. Engineers are now examining how they might test those sections to confirm the source of the leak. The CEOs of Google, Facebook, and Twitter could face subpoenas from the U.S. Senate. The Chamber's Commerce Committee will vote on whether to compel executives to testify on a legal shield that protects online platforms against lawsuits. The vote to issue subpoenas for Sundar Pichai, Mark Zuckerberg, and Jack Dorsey will take place on October 1st. And we are approaching a key deadline for the future of TikTok in the U.S. The Trump administration has until 2:30 p.m. today to postpone a ban on the app or respond to a legal challenge from TikTok's owner. ByteDance is seeking a preliminary injunction on the ban, even as it pursues approval from the White House for a sale to Oracle and Walmart. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures, they're down 24 points. Dow futures down 225. And NASDAQ futures down 65. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.